Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. Excuse me. I'll be bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. We will begin with this week's Eats of the Week column. Treat yourself to something new. Clinton Business makes baked goods, freeze-dried candy. Zach and Marissa Gilmore started selling freeze-dried candy at local events in 2023. And in April 2024, they opened a candy and bakery storefront, Gilmore's Treats and More, in Clinton. Zach Gilmore is originally from the Salem area and has spent about half his life in southern Illinois and the other half in central Illinois, eventually making Clinton his home. He said he'd always wanted to own business, but spent many years working in agriculture before becoming an entrepreneur. We got a freeze dryer. My wife started playing around and started doing small events, and we realized there was a little bit of money to be made. We put the work in, so for the first year, that's all we did, Zach Gilmore said of the business's beginning, which focused solely on freeze-dried candy. We signed up at local events and anything that would take us. We might have had one or two Saturdays free each month. After a year selling at local events, customers began asking about a website and shipping. So the Gilmores started offering those services. After a while, they decided it was time for a storefront, as they needed more machines and more storage space to produce more product, so they could have enough to sell at events. And since they were already opening a candy store, they thought the commercial kitchen was big enough to start a bakery too. The bakery was officially licensed in July 2024, and they started selling and advertising that August. Over the years, the Gilmore's Treats at 505 West Side Square has been home to a barber shop, a doctor's office and pharmacy, a sporting goods shop, and more. There's not many bakeries in the area. We're the only commercial bakery in Clinton, and when you walk in, you see our whole kitchen. So there's nothing to hide here. You see it all. And we put our name on everything, Zach Gilmore said, of what makes the business unique. Gilmore's offers cookies, scones, donuts, bars, cinnamon rolls, and freeze-dried candy. It also sells items from other local businesses, including Coffee Corner, Jake's Candy Spot, Vaja and Daisy's Handmade Soap, and others. The most popular cookie flavors are s'mores and fruity pebbles. They have 6 to 7 different cinnamon roll flavors, with the plain and caramel pecan flavors as the top sellers. Nerd clusters are popular among the candy. They also offer boxes or candy specials for events or holidays. I think just seeing what we have new, we're always making a new cookie, a new scone, new cinnamon rolls, new candies. I mean, there's always, almost always, something new around here, Zach Gilmore said, of what his customers enjoy most about the store. The family operation grew even more when Zach's mom, Pam Gilmore, started to come bake for the business as well. Together, they are often baking nonstop 6 to 7 days a week, so their items will be as fresh as possible. This year, the Gilmores has about 40 to 50 events planned already and will attend several throughout each month. From about 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, their goodies can be found at Growmark in Bloomington. While the business doesn't really offer custom orders, they do take special requests from customers if there's a certain flavor of something they would like to see available at the store. Customers can contact the store through Facebook, their website, or by calling them. Zach Gilmore said he wants to continue growing the business and possibly open a second location in Bloomington, but wants to keep Clinton as their home base. They also plan to open up employment opportunities later this year. We're trying to give the community what they want. If they're looking for something, we're hopefully able to fill that spot. And just how we kept branching into different baked goods, he said. Coffee Corner has been a real help to us, getting that out there and getting requests for us. That's really helped us branch into the scones. We probably would have never done scones or cinnaminis because that was specifically from them and their clientele. Gilmore's plans to bring back its Monster Mash event from noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, October 11th. They started the event last year and had 300 to 500 people visit throughout the day. Zach Gilmore said they had the store open and activities on the square like mini pumpkin decorating, local vendors, food, and more. He hopes to make this year's event a little bigger with additional vendors, food, and other activities. Those interested in being a vendor for the event can message the store directly. Again, if you go, this is called Gilmore's Treats and More, located at 505 West Side Square in Clinton. Their hours are 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Sundays, and they're closed on Monday. You can reach them by telephone at 217-778-1457 or visit their website, gilmoresftd.com. Or you can find them at Gilmore's Treats and More on Facebook. Normal, Town OK's Essex Housing Project, luxury apartment complex planned at Beach Shelbourne. A new luxury apartment development will be coming to Northeast Normal despite complaints and concerns from neighbors. The Normal Town Council voted unanimously on Monday to rezone almost 20 acres to allow for the development of more than 250 apartments and townhomes at the corner of Beach Street and Shelbourne Drive. Council member Kathleen Lorenz was not in attendance. The Essex Residential Development comprises a total of 252 residential units, mostly with 2- and 3-bedroom floor plans. There would be 228 apartment units across 12 buildings and 24 townhouse units across 6 buildings. Although the Normal Planning Commission suggested the planned 4 buildings along Captain's Circle be limited to 2 stories during its May 9th meeting, the town staff proposed the developer stay with the original 3-story plan. About 16 public commenters cited concerns about property values, possible declining, traffic, neighborhood safety, and noise and light pollution. Prior to the council approving the development, a resident stood and interrupted council action to ask whether the town considered the impact on local schools, claiming there would be no room for the possible increase in students. He was asked to leave after he spoke. Shortly after the council voted, the crowd of about 50 residents collectively left the chambers. Normal Mayor Chris Coos said when he first joined the council, he remembered the community experiencing a lot of growth and hearing a lot of the same concerns expressed back then. Coos said the town is experiencing a housing shortage, and single-family housing developers are having a difficult time building homes in the community at affordable prices. People were afraid of what they considered the unknown, and that's why it's critical that our town staff holds any developer that comes to us with a project to the standards to ensure that doesn't happen, Coos said. We have to be able to let people come into this community, he added. We need to grow the stock of housing so that we're making it more affordable, and that's the way to do it, is to have more housing. The developer and prospective buyer of the property, Worthington LLC, which is managed by Young America Realty, proposed rezoning 2.5 acres at the west end of Vanderbilt Drive from R1B, single family residential, to R2, mixed residence, and the remaining 17 acres to R3A, medium density multifamily. The property is being sold by Collie Ridge LLC, which is managed by local developer Don Frank. Andy Netzer, president and managing broker at Young America Realty, said he and others spoke with residents and made two changes to the development that eliminate vehicle access to the cul-de-sac along Vanderbilt Drive and platted a single-family home adjacent to the final existing home on Vanderbilt. For 25 years, this property has been in stalemate, and it could continue indefinitely as farmland. But I don't think that's ideal for Normal, and that is not what the town's comprehensive plan calls for, Netzer said. The plan we're proposing meets the code for the proposed zoning, with exception of the connection to Vanderbilt, which I think everybody in the room supports that waiver. Council member Rory Roarbridge asked whether these units will be accessible to people working at or looking to work at Rivian Automotive or State Farm. Netzer said he envisions these to be high-end apartments that will create affordable options elsewhere, but he does not expect the average Rivian worker to be the target market. The preliminary unit development plan proposes variances that will allow for three-story buildings and extend the transitional setback limit for properties adjacent to rear yards from 30 feet to 45 feet. A traffic study also showed there is no need to improve the intersection at Beach Street and Shelbourne Drive, and there will be no significant cross-traffic between the Essex and Collie Ridge subdivisions. All buildings will feature composite wood siding and trim, balconies with decorative railings, awnings, planter boxes, decorative wall lights, brick chimneys, and architectural shingles, according to the town documents. The apartments will feature second and third floor enclosed bridges with balconies, creating an open-air pass-through for pedestrian access. The plan proposes a 40% spread of green space throughout the development, with a landscaped boulevard leading up to the center of the development, green space along the east and north property lines, landscaping around all apartment buildings, and a landscaped buffer along Beach Street. There will be two detention basins designed as amenities, with the north area being dry and available for various recreational activities, and the south area designed to be fishable with an appropriate depth, native plants, fishing perch, seating, and a trail. A total of 504 parking spots are proposed, which is about two parking spots for each unit, or 456 parking spaces for the apartment units, and 48 parking spaces for the townhomes. In other action, the council approved additional amendments and final development plans for the Cardin Springs development, which will be on 36 acres at the northwest corner of Beach Street and Towanda Avenue. The development will feature 477 units with a mix of 1-, 2-, and 3-bedroom apartments and townhomes across 29 garden-style buildings. These will include a 2-story clubhouse, 7 2-story buildings, and 21 3-story buildings, some of which will have attached garages. The initial amendments were approved by the council in October 2024 to waive some fees and eliminate some construction requirements to help the developer secure financing. The additional amendments include requiring a certificate of occupancy for all structures, plotting the property in 2 phases and deferring parkland and school land fees in the same manner as the rest of development fees. If the project is substantially completed by December 31st, 2028, 50% of the parkland fee and 100% of the school land fee would be due 30 days later. The housing development plans were previously approved by the council in January 2023, and the initial annexation agreement followed in April 2023. The council also voted in support of a shelter village at 104 East Oakland Avenue in Bloomington, planned by Home Sweet Home Ministries, called The Bridge. The project was endorsed by the Bloomington City Council on May 13th, and construction could begin in June, with the shelters being finished by November. The gated community would be staffed 24 hours a day and contain furnished single and double occupancy units, all with electricity and climate control, that would be anywhere from 80 to 100 square feet. At the center of the lot would be a clubhouse with full bathrooms and showers. The homeless encampment near Sugar Creek off of South Center Street and South Normal will be disbanded by June 1st for 2 significant sewer projects by the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District. Multiple parcels owned by the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District located adjacent to Sugar Creek and the encampment contain critical sewer infrastructure that moves sewage from urban areas to the wastewater treatment facility on Oakland Avenue. In addition, the council awarded the bid for the Hovey Avenue Water Service Relocation Project to George Gildner Incorporated for $1,553,000. They awarded a contract to Denler Incorporated for the 2025 crack and joint filling project for $21,475. They authorized a contract with Donaldson Construction Company, LLC, for a pilot project application of pressure pave pavement preservation for $222,423. They awarded a contract to Stark Excavation Incorporated for the Chippewa Street Improvement Project for $938,740. They authorized a contract with Balcones Midwest LLC for the processing of recycled materials. They authorized a joint agreement with the City of Bloomington and the Ecology Action Center for an energy efficiency program. and they authorized a petition to annex town-owned properties into the Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District. Today's Flick Fact question. On Bloomington's west side, west of Miller Park, is Pancake Street. Do you know what it has to do with a hearty breakfast? And the answer is it has nothing to do with breakfast, but it does have a lot to do with many of the older homes on Bloomington's west side. The street is named after Fred Pancake, who once ran a steam sawmill there, from which came lumber used to build those homes in the area. And from the back pages of the Pantograph, how time flies locally. 100 years ago, May 21st, 1925, Sheriff Morrison and the bankers of Bloomington have selected Mark Ethel for the Central Guard and Deputy Sheriff as the final step in the protective organization of McLean County against bank bandits and kindred criminals. Mr. Ethel, a fearless man with a splendid war record, is well known in Bloomington, and Sheriff Morrison said the bankers feel they have made a very happy selection for this responsible position. 75 years ago, on May 21st, 1950, farmer Ed Nichols had to have an operation about 3 weeks ago, just about the time most farmers are in the midst of their spring season field work. About 20 friends and neighbors, led by Roy Brent, congregated at the Nichols farm in Stanford on Friday, May 19th, to get the spring work out of the way. 50 years ago, May 21st, 1975. New stop signs will be erected today at three Madison Street intersections in downtown Bloomington. City engineer Dale Bollinger said the signs, part of the phase-in of the future downtown street pattern, will be put up on cross streets where motorists do not now have to stop. The signs will stop east-west traffic at Market, Monroe, and Front Streets. And 25 years ago today, May 21st, 2000, the Kickapoo Creek Outdoor Rock Concert will mark its 30th anniversary this week, but no concerts are planned. Instead, the Normal Theater will hold special screenings of a film documenting the concert that drew both rock bands and fans to Haworth in 1970. University High School graduation in Normal was held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 18th at Braden Auditorium inside the Bone Student Center. For a complete list of all the graduates, you can visit pantograph.com. Clinton High School graduation was also held at 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 18th at the school. The El Paso Gridley High School graduation was held at 3 p.m. on Sunday, May 18th. The Flanagan Cornell High School graduation will be held at 7 p.m. this Friday, May 23rd, in the East Gym of the school. And the Lexington High School graduation was held on Sunday, May 18th, at the school. Again, for a complete list of all the graduates, you can visit pantograph.com. The El Paso Gridley Prom was held on Saturday, April 5th at the Water Tower in Gridley. The king and queen were Ryan Kelsey and Molly Irwin. The Livingston County Coroner's Office has identified the victim of a single vehicle crash on Sunday near Flanagan. About 12:16 a.m., 25-year-old Darren Kavinsky was driving south on 300 East Road when he left the roadway and entered a ditch. His vehicle struck a culvert and rolled before stopping just south of 2100 North Road, according to a news release from the coroner's office. Kavinsky of Long Point was pronounced dead at the scene. In addition to the coroner's office, the crash was investigated by the Livingston County Sheriff's Office, Flanagan Fire Department, Gridley EMS, Southeast Livingston County Ambulance Service, and Illinois State Police. No further information was released. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank, next month, will distribute food to local families facing food insecurity in Normal, Farmer City, and throughout McLean County. The Normal distribution will take place from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Saturday, June 14th at Normal West High School, 501 North Parkside Road, and is open to McLean County residents. The Farmer City distribution will take place from 9 to 10 a.m. Saturday, June 14th at the Trinity Community Fellowship, 1300 West Clinton Avenue, and is open to DeWitt, Piatt, and McLean County residents. The Food Mobile will then travel through southern McLean County on Monday, June 23rd, and northern McLean County on Wednesday, June 25th. Distribution sites will be in Gridley, Shenoa, Koufax, Saybrook, Bellflower, Stanford, and McLean. Exact sites and times can be found at eifoodbank.org/help/mobile. Attendees are asked to bring boxes or bags to transport food. Income guidelines will apply. The June distribution at Normal West will be the last one taking place in Bloomington Normal. The annual Good Neighbors Day will take place May 23rd through June 1st in Washington. The five-day festival is sponsored by CEFQ and more than 15 community groups. The event will be held at 1800 Washington Road and feature carnival rides, fair food, fireworks, and more. The carnival schedule will be 5 to 10 p.m. Wednesday, May 28th, 5 to 10 p.m. Thursday, May 29th, 4 to 10 p.m. Friday, May 30th, with the concessions open until 11, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, May 31st, with concessions until 11 p.m., and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, June 1st. The fireworks show will start at 9:30 p.m. on Friday, May 30th. Among the highlights on Saturday, the Washington Park District 5K run and 1 mile walk will begin at 7:30 a.m. at Five Points Washington, and a Rotary Club breakfast will take place from 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. at Washington Community High School. We'll take a short break now and then return for the second half of the Pantograph for May 21st, 2025. Please stay tuned.